It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster. Coming up, we'll check out the stories behind some of your favorite classic holiday tunes.
First, Wisconsin's pro-life groups are gearing up for a new legislative season with a renewed and expanded Republican mandate in both the state Senate and Assembly.
Last session, legislators passed a law requiring doctors who perform abortions to have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals, a victory for anti-abortion groups in the state.
This session, they're supporting two main pieces of legislation that would affect access to abortions in the state. Wisconsin Right to Life is supporting a ban on abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy, and Wisconsin Family Action is supporting an addition to the state's right of conscience law that would ensure doctors don't face penalties if they refuse to perform abortions.
The right of conscience expansion doesn't only pertain to performing abortions. It would protect professionals from actions that clash with their religious or moral beliefs in general. Here with us to talk about their priorities on pro-life legislation for the coming session are Chelsea Shields, legislative and PAC director of Wisconsin Right to Life. First, Chelsea, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today.
And we also have Julaine Appling. She's president of Wisconsin Family Action. Hi, Julaine.
Hello, good to be with you.
Thank you both for being here. Chelsea, let me start with you. Do you see the last legislative session as a successful one for your organization with regard to pro-life policies in the state?
Absolutely. We have had stories pouring in over the past year since Sonia's law has been effective. Women who have chosen life after seeing their babies on ultrasound. In fact, just in 2013 alone, we've seen 465 less abortions in Wisconsin. Those are 464 lives, you know, now safe, and mothers whose lives are now complete with their children. And we're just very glad to see the success behind Sonia's law and that more and more women are becoming informed before their pregnancies and the options that they have before making a life or death decision.
And Julaine, would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. We were standing proudly and strongly with Wisconsin Right to Life on Sonia's law. And anytime that we can protect women's health and save the life of a baby, our state is better off. And certainly we've made some progress in that over this last session.
Mm-hmm. And going forward into the next session, Chelsea, Wisconsin Right to Life is hoping to have abortions banned after the 20-week mark of pregnancy. What is the reason behind that?
Well, we have substantial medical evidence that shows us that unborn children are capable of feeling pain at the latest by the point of development of 20 weeks gestation. But there is evidence that it could be earlier in a child's development. So we're very excited to protect those babies who are capable of feeling pain, and we could save approximately 100 lives every year by protecting pain-capable unborn children.
And if we can dig into that point just a bit, I'm curious about where you're pointing to for your scientific evidence as the Journal of American Medical, the Journal of the American Medical Association disputes that claim just a little bit. They say that the literature so far is inconclusive about whether fetuses begin to feel pain after the 20-week mark.
Well, what's interesting about this study by the Journal of the American Medical Association was it was actually written by several pro-abortion advocates. One was a former lawyer for NARAL, and the studies that we look to from fetal pain experts such as Dr. Anand are from neutral sources who stand by their findings even if they themselves are not with us on this issue. And so we look towards those that are experts on this issue who do not have specific ties to any sort of pro-abortion groups.
And Julaine, does the Wisconsin Family Action support the Wisconsin Right to Life in this regard?
Oh, we certainly do. Look, this is a bill whose time has come. I believe, as Chelsea has pointed out there, that the well-done studies are very clear that the babies in utero, certainly by age 20 weeks gestation, do experience pain. This is another opportunity for us to, again, help women and to protect the life of their unborn children. And it's, you know, we've talked about this at the federal level, and it's now time to bring this home to Wisconsin so that we can make further strides in promoting a culture of life in our state.
What do you predict in terms of success when it comes to getting these measures passed in the next session?
Well, I'm very optimistic about that. Look, the people in this state, the voters went to the polls in November, and they voted largely for people who say they are pro-life in our state senate and in our state assembly. And I look forward to having a very good debate on these topics, and at the end of the day, having these bills go to the floor and pass.
And as we mentioned earlier, Julaine, your group is looking to expand the state's so-called right of conscience law. If you could just give us a brief reminder on what the right of conscience law is and on what expansions you're specifically seeking.
Well, I want to clarify here that when this was originally reported, it was put into the pro-life category, but it's actually larger than that. It's coming off Article 1, Section 18 of our state constitution, in which it talks very clearly about the protection of the conscience rights of our individual citizens. And there is also folded in religious freedom as well. And those are joined very closely in that state constitution. And what we're talking about here is making sure that our state laws clearly provide protections for all of our people based on their conscience and their belief system, whether they're in their place of employment or whether they are could be a doctor, but it also could be a business owner of another sort. It's about making sure that our people can live out 24/7 the full dictates of their conscience. And we believe the time has come for us to take a very close look at that.
So you're saying that the current constitution doesn't protect doctors and others to the degree that you wish it would? What are the loopholes that exist?
Well, the Constitution doesn't specifically identify categories of people, and it may be that when we look at this, you know, with our attorneys, it may be that the way the court has ruled on Article 1, Section 18 in other cases that it's fine. But what we know, for instance, is we right now have hospitals being mandated, regardless of their religious affiliation, and healthcare providers within those hospitals to provide emergency contraception to victims of sexual assault, even if the hospital and/or the healthcare provider has conscience objections to that or religious objections to that. That's not fundamentally right. Nor do what I say in keeping with Article 1, Section 18 of our state constitution.
On the other hand, if we were to flip that around, what it sounds like you're saying is you're concerned about some possible interpretation of the law that doesn't protect people to the degree that you hope. On the other hand, is there a slippery slope here where emergency room doctors could refuse care for a patient based on other protected characteristics, such as religion or sexual orientation and those types of things?
I don't believe so. And even if they are, that's the argument. You've hit the argument right on the head. Where does a person's where do we stop respecting the conscience rights and religious rights of the people who are providing care? And that's the debate that has to happen.
And Chelsea, there are some bills pertaining to access to abortions that were not passed in the last legislative session. These include, for example, barring public workers' health insurance from covering abortions, exempting religious organizations from providing insurance coverage for contraceptives, and banning abortions based on whether the fetus is male or female. Are there any hopes that some of these things will be resurrected in the coming session?
Well, I know our main priority right now is to focus on our pain bill because we are part of a national trend to protect pain-capable unborn children. So far, 10 other states have passed bills to protect unborn babies who are capable of feeling pain, and more states will be joining us, and along with on the federal level, they'll be working on a pain-capable unborn child protection act as well. So our main focus is our pain bill to be part of a national trend to protect unborn children who can feel pain.
And I'll toss this question to each of you. How do you measure success when it comes to your objectives as right to life and family groups? How will you measure that? If you couldn't get the ideal legislation passed in the next session, what are you willing to settle for? And I'll start with you, Chelsea.
Well, we know just from the laws that we've passed and also by keeping a dialogue with our pregnancy centers around the state that any of the efforts that we do, even if we fail on a certain piece of legislation, we know that we are changing hearts and minds by educating others about the development of unborn children and the consequences of abortion. And so for us to know that we are changing hearts and minds and saving lives along the way, even if our legislation isn't successful, we consider it a success when we can help others and help change hearts and minds.
Julaine?
Well, I agree with Chelsea. This is not just about getting legislation passed. Right to Life and Wisconsin Family Action, other pro-life groups around our state have always been about changing the culture in our state. And any time that we can have an open dialogue and do massive education on these issues is a very good thing for the people of our state to understand what that means to have a culture of life. And we get down into the individual lives, into churches, and into individual groups, and we're able to have these discussions. That's healthy for Wisconsin. It's good for the women of Wisconsin and their health, as well as for saving the lives of unborn babies. So we don't measure success by whether we get something passed or not. We're always, you know, we're always excited when we do and pleased, but there's a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
Mm-hmm. We've been speaking with Chelsea Shields, Legislative and PAC Director of Wisconsin Right to Life, and Julaine Appling. She's President of Wisconsin Family Action. They were speaking to us about their pro-life priorities for the coming legislative session.